Hey, good morning, church. How y'all doing today? Come on, let's give God a great big hand. And thank you, worship team, for doing a great job this morning. Come on, are you excited about Jesus today? I really am. And I am so, so amped to be with you. Come on. Wow, y'all moved your clocks back.
Yeah.
How you feel about that?
Let's do it next week.
Yeah, let's do it again next week. Don't do it again next week. Come on. Hey, we're kicking off a brand new series today entitled True Riches, True Riches. And I'm very confident that nobody here, because nobody did, win the Powerball jackpot. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because I know that many of you played. That's okay, okay? But it's this next week is actually going to be $1.9 billion. Can you imagine such a thing? $1.9 billion. And that's a lot of money, you know. That really, really is. And true riches. But now I'm not bragging. But I'm just saying I've won the Powerball jackpot 5 times.
Yeah.
I know what you're thinking. Why am I here? Now let me tell you what I won. The first time I won, Jesus Christ radically changed and transformed my life. I won. The second time I won is that for 33 years, I've been married to the same woman. And she digs me bad. We have 5 adult children, and most of the time, they like calling me dad. Come on, somebody. Anybody that has kids knows what I'm talking about. Come on. And I've been part of the same church for 40 years. One of the best places on the planet. I couldn't imagine being anywhere else but right here at Bridge City Church. I mean that with all my heart. And the fifth time I've won the Powerball jackpot is I have friends that have spanned it over decades. I have friends that have been trusted, and they trust me, and I have friends over decades. May I suggest to you, those are the things that money can't buy.
Right.
I've won what money can't buy. I've never won $1 billion, never won $1 million, never won anything like that, but you know what? I've won, and I've won big.
Right.
I have true riches.
Right.
And I believe that we do too. So here we go. I want to give you the big idea. The big idea here for today is this. This is the big idea, that true riches can be obtained by every disciple when applying these three principles. True riches can be obtained by every disciple of Jesus when we apply these three principles. Number one is a stewardship mindset. Number two is a shrewd plan, and I'm going to use the word budget there. And number three, that we have a heart set on eternity. So I have a mindset of stewardship. I have a shrewd plan that I've made in the budget. And then I have a heart set on eternity. I believe if we put into practice these three things, we can experience true riches. Now, why do we use this word true riches? In Luke chapter 16, verse 11, red letters, Jesus' words, "And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches of heaven?" That's right, Jesus' words. Look, if you can't be trusted with worldly wealth, how am I going to give you true riches? Now, I'm going to give you a definition of true riches. It's not the Greek definition of true riches. It's my definition. And so, obviously, I think it's a really good one. Okay? I've wrestled with this for actually a couple weeks with what's a good definition. And here it is. It's to have Jesus' presence, His peace, His power, provision, and protection, and to have the fullness of joy. That's true riches. That's the thing, money can't buy that. I have the fullness of joy in my heart. I have the fullness of Christ because I have His peace, His power, His protection. Come on, His provision. That's on my life. That's all over me. So I have true riches, and I believe you can have true riches too. I believe that with all of my heart. So let me give you, before we're going to go into nine verses in Luke chapter 16. I'm going to uncover a story. It's actually can feel like a confusing story that Jesus told. And I'm going to dive into it in here just a little bit. But let me give you some Bible facts here. Some Bible facts. Did you know that there are more than 500 verses on prayer in the Bible? There are more than 500 verses on faith, but there are more than 2,000 verses on money and possessions. 15% of Jesus' teaching would pertain to money. Now, many people, I hear this really frequently here, Pastor, you shouldn't talk about money. That's all the church talks about is money. Listen, I'm just trying to be like Jesus. Are you all good with that? See, I just want to be like Jesus. And I guarantee you, money is something that we all think about every single day of our lives. In some way, shape, or form, money enters the equation into every single day. Whether you're getting gas in your car, at the supermarket, it's payday, what you're doing, it enters the equation. It really, really does. In every way possible. Now, if I were to tell you, hey, there is good news at Bridge City Church. We just received a whole bunch of money over this past year. Wouldn't that be good news? Because many of you sacrifice, you give selflessly. Isn't that good? But then if I told you, but you know what? I'm not sure where it went. If I were to tell you, I'm not sure where it went, and I know we're going to receive a lot next year, but I'm not even sure where that's going to go. And you know what? It's at the end of the year, and I have nothing to show for it. How many of you would be like, huh? Oh, yeah. Come on. How many of you would be like, what'd they do with it? Who took it? Who mismanaged it? Am I right? Come on. How many of you have it? But how many of us don't apply that same principle to our own finances? How many of us don't apply that to what we have from God? May I suggest to you, it's because we view the money God has in the church's money as that's God's and what you have is yours. There's a tension here that we have to uncover because I want you to have true riches. I want to have an open heaven from God. I want to have everything that God has for me, and I want to have things that money can't buy. Are you ready to jump into a good story by Jesus?
Yes.
A good one. Okay, Luke chapter 16. And let me just frame this for you. Luke 16, verse 1. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. But it's interesting, at the end of what he's saying here, the Pharisees had religion, but they didn't have relationship. They had a form of godliness, but they didn't have a true relationship. And it's interesting here, the Pharisees overheard Jesus speaking to his followers, and it says that they scoffed at him. Do you know what scoffed really means? This is the Greek word. This isn't my... It means that they literally like blew mucus out of their nose. That's really, it means to blow your nose. It means to turn up your nose. That's what it means. And see, many people, when it comes to teachings about money and possessions, what they do is they go. And so we got to ask ourselves, are we going to lean in and say, Jesus, teach me? Jesus, help me? Or are we going to? No, I'm serious. There's two ways we have to hear. Are we going to overhear or are we going to lean in? How many of y'all want to lean into Jesus today? Come on. How many of y'all want to lean in and say, God, help me understand today? I really want to please you. Am I in the right place today? Come on here. Okay, so here we go. A good lesson from a bad example. Luke chapter 16, verse 1, stewardship mindset. Jesus told this story to his... There was a certain rich man who had a manager handling his affairs, and one day came that the manager was his employer's money. So the employer called him in and said, what's this I hear about you getting your report in order? Because you're going to get fired. Now it's interesting here, Jesus tells this story here, and he's saying, hey man, You got to get your stuff in order. There's going to be a report. There's going to be a report. You got to get it in order because he was wasting money. So let's look at this. The definition of a manager here, it's a steward, a household manager handling another's affairs. Not the owner, but the operator. Now, have you ever gone to a restaurant and it says owner, and there's like a list of the owner listed, but then there's the operator underneath it? The owner has all the resources, and the operator is functioning under the owner's direction and resourcing. They can't do whatever they want. They do what the owner wants, right? See, something great happens when we see ourselves as a steward, a manager of what belongs to God. It's his. So it's a mindset. What would happen if all of us in this room right now said, it's not mine, it all belongs to God. No, well, see, this is a stewardship mindset. When we become, see, when Jesus Christ, and I love the exhortation, Pastor Nick and the worship team, awesome. Jesus died for all of you. All of you, all of us. Not just a part of our lives, but all of us here. And so this guy in this story was wasting money. Now, I want to give you, let me just help you here. How many of you work? Okay. Your job is not just to make your boss a lot of money. Your job is to make your boss a profit. Now, I want you to catch this. It's one thing to say, tomorrow morning, go to your boss and say, I'm not just going to make you a lot of money, I'm going to make you a profit. That means you need to factor all the money that it costs to keep you around. And then say, I'm going to make more than that. I'm going to make you a profit so that you're not wasting your money on me. Totally different mindset. Then they better give me a raise. They better give me an end of year bonus. They owe me this. My boss owes me this. He doesn't know. She doesn't know. They don't know. No, what if we as believers in Jesus, as disciples, had a stewardship mindset that says, I'm going to make my boss a profit. I'm not going to waste money there. Listen, and there's a report that's given at Bridge City Church. We send out a report every quarter. And we give a report of what you've given. And people ask me all the time, I say, because it's the king's money, and we want to make sure what you've given ended up in the right place. And then we give you a whole list of things of what we did with the money, what the money's producing, how the money's working. See, we give a report. Many people don't like reports. What if we gave you a report on attendance? I mean, your boss does a report on attendance, right? Why shouldn't Jesus? Just a thought. No, I like reports. That's why almost every morning when I get up, one of the first things I do after I brush my teeth, I get on a scale. Almost every morning. You know why? Because I like a report. I look down and it doesn't lie. Now, I'll be honest, sometimes I step off and I step on again just to make sure. I do. I step off and say, that can't be right. That's wrong. That's wrong. Then I wait till it gets zero and I step back on. I say, oh, it's right. Mm-hmm. Same number. Very consistent. See, that's a report. See, I would love to get up every morning and say, you know, I think I'm doing pretty good. I feel like I only weigh 150. See, but that's what we do with our finances. I feel like I'm doing good, but we don't have a report of how we're doing. We, God's people, should love reports because it belongs to God. So one of the things we're going to ask you to do is make a report of your stewardship. That's right. What would happen if every person here, this is your first assignment. Oh, it's so good. This is your first assignment. You're going to make a list this week of all the things you're a steward of. Your car. I'm a steward of my car. Then you're going to, my house, I'm a steward of my, everything in my house God owns. No, you're going to write it down. It helps sometimes to write it down. Say, this belongs to God. And then you're going to make your report, all the money in your bank accounts, all the money, you're going to write it down. This all belongs to God. This is his stewardship. Then you can even list your children. Okay, they belong to God. I mean, from a child birth to 18 years old, 6,575 days, that's all you got. You better be a good steward. Your marriage, are we a good steward? Your job, are you a good steward? We need to write down, it all belongs to God. Because there's going to be a reporting here. That's the first thing we got to approach, a mindset. Everything belongs to God. It's all God's. Everything I own came from God, and it's for God. Big difference maker. That is a difference maker in our lives here. So vitally important. Okay, let's go on in verse 3. Are you, okay, so you got the stewardship mindset? You got to remember, true riches can be obtained by every disciple when we apply these three principles. First one's a stewardship mindset. Number two is a shrewd plan. A shrewd plan. Now listen to this. The manager thought to himself, now what? My boss has fired me. I don't have the strength to dig ditches, and I'm too proud to beg. Ah, I know how to ensure that I'll have plenty of friends who will give me a home when I am fired. Verse 5. So he invited each person who owed money to his employer to come and discuss the situation. He asked the first one, how much do you owe him? The man replied, I owe him 800 gallons of olive oil. So the manager told him, take the bill and quickly change it to 400 gallons. Did he have the right to do that? No, he was the manager, not the owner. Okay, verse 7, and how much do you owe my employer? He asked the next man, I owe him 1,000 bushels of wheat. Was the reply, here the manager said, take the bill and change it to 800 bushels. The rich man had to admire the dishonest rascal. Oh, I like that term. We don't use that term a lot, you rascal, you. Come on, you dishonest rascal, for being so shrewd. And it is true that the children of this world are much more shrewd in dealing with the world around them than are the children of the light. Now, let me just make it clear here. Jesus does not commend the dishonesty. That's not what Jesus is commending here. But the shrewdness. Now, shrewd can have a negative connotation. Oh, you're so shrewd. But really, if you look at what it means, it's wise, sensible, prudent. Being a shrewd isn't a bad thing when it's used for God. I want you to think about this. It's being wise. I'm going to be prudent. I'm going to be sensible in what I'm doing. I'm not going to be dishonest. I don't want to mismanage what belongs to God. I want to use it for Him. Big difference. So may I suggest to you here that at least the manager had a plan. It was a dishonest one. I do not believe Jesus is saying, hey, dishonesty is the way to go. That would contradict too many other things. But it was a plan. And he says, listen, some people have more plans for here in this world than believers do for heaven and eternity. I want to be wise with that here. Now, this is the deal here. Now, I believe many of us right here in this room are not experiencing true riches, peace, power, protection, the provision of God in our lives, because we don't have a shrewd plan with our money. We're not handling our worldly wealth properly. These are Jesus' words that we're uncovering here. But when I handle it in a God-honoring way, I believe that heaven opens for us. See, our ability to bring our money under control is part of our spiritual development. I want you to catch this. Our ability to bring our money under control is part of our spiritual development. So we're going to help you here. That's what we're going to do. So we're going to help you get a plan for your money. Now, we have some hard copies of what I have in my hand. It's what's up here, a monthly cash flow plan. We have them available at Connection Point. But there's a code right here. If you want to zero in on that code, and you can get one of these. You can take it home. If you don't know how to get that code, find somebody younger than you right around you and hand them your phone. Say, would you please get this for me? It's okay. I own that. I'm not, no problem. That was up there this morning. One of these codes was up there this morning, and I was like, I have no idea how to get that. Okay, Lord Jesus, help me. But you can get that. No, I'm serious. How many of you believe that you're going to give a report to God? How many of you really believe? I believe that with all my heart. And I believe God's not just going to ask me about the 10%+ that I have a conviction in my heart that I should give. He's going to ask me about all of it. Again, what would you say to me if I said, oh, I'm not sure what happened to all the money. It kind of just went somewhere. Wouldn't that be like, really? Would you want to give me more? No, how many of you always say, yeah, I can't wait to give? No, that's why we give you a report. We have a stewardship report. We want to give an accounting of everything we have. So I want you to plan out everything, make a list of all your expenses, make a list of them front and back, and then get help with it. Go to somebody and go to your small group leader and say, I need to get help. Every group leader right here, they're going to ask you about this week. They're going to say, hey, did you fill this out? They're going to say, hey, do you need help filling it out? Who do we need to talk to? You know why? Because we want to help you not just have a good experience on Sunday. We want to help your Monday through Saturday get more in order too. That's what we want to help you with. This is going to help you. So I want you to do this, and if you need help, there's people that will help you. See, now is the time to plan for how much you're going to spend at Christmas, not in January. Do you know that the average family goes in debt $1,200 at Christmas time? On credit cards they don't have the money for. That's $1,200. It's right about there. Younger families go more. Older families go less. That's the typical statistics. Listen, now's the time to make a plan. And nobody has the guts to get that person who has everything to get them what they really need. Nothing. I'm serious. I've been looking at your life, and you look like you have everything you need. Come on, get you what you need. I'm going to get you nothing this year. That's what I've just been thinking. No, are you with me? See, this is what we do. But this isn't how we think. Now, I know what you're going to say, Pastor Rick, you're old. I don't look a day over 22. I look like decades over 22. I got that one. Now, I want to let you know, I haven't used an ATM since 1988. Some of you didn't even know they had them back then. Mac machine, yeah. The old Mac machine. Now, I just chose not to do it. I choose to have a better plan. There's a way. You don't even have to live on debit. Ooh, now you're meddling, Pastor. No, what I'm trying to say to you is don't become a victim to our culture that says this is how you ought to live. Don't become a victim, become a disciple, and have a shrewd plan, may I suggest budget, to give you peace and give you confidence that you can live different from the world. And you can have peace and have joy and have more to give away. Now I'm just going to get, let's see on a secret. Our children, we have 5 adult children now. The youngest is 25, up into their 30s. And when we ask our kids now, hey, what do you want for Christmas? What do you remember about Christmas? What do you remember? I'm going to tell you what they tell us. They've told us this out loud. They said, well, what do you remember? What do you like about Christmas? What remember? And you know, all those gifts we bought. You know, we wanted to hear the piano that we bought, this gift or that gift, or that one Christmas we actually got them a dog. That was a gift of love. Do Do you know what they said? They said, oh, I know what we want. One thing we have to have every year. Christmas bread. Now every Christmas morning, my wife, Natalie, gets up in the wee hours of the morning and she starts making this bread. Has cinnamon, sugar, and this cream cheese icing. And a stick of butter. I get a stick of butter. And I don't care if we ever open gifts, but I'm going to get me some of that bread right from the oven, right when it's warm, right when the butter's melting and the cream cheese is everywhere, and we're going to eat it until I get myself a sugar rush. Come on, somebody. And our kids are the same way. They've said every time, like I said, that's what they remember. That's what they want. What I'm trying to tell you is a lot of times we're spending money on all this stuff, and what really matters, that Christmas bread. If we would have known that, they would have gotten nothing but their own loaf of bread for years. Come on. But we don't think that way. We think in terms of material things, am I right? Come on, help me. We do. I do. I'm guilty. Because we don't have a plan and we're not thinking. We're thinking in more is better. But maybe less is more. And maybe we're forfeiting our spiritual development because we have a cultural mindset, not a kingdom of God mindset. That's what I'm sharing with you right now. See, this is the mindsets that help us here. And we want to have a plan. And I'm just going to give you these two verses, 1 Corinthians 16. Have a plan for what you give. I'm going to bring my plan on the first day of the week. In Proverbs 6, it talks about ants, not your Aunt Betty, but ants, like literal ants, okay? And they have a plan. Proverbs 6, you're going to read about the ants this week. They have a plan. Matter of fact, ants have more of a plan than most Christians. I'm serious, like we got to have a plan. That's what I'm talking about here. So true riches can be obtained by every disciple when we apply these three principles. First one's a stewardship mindset. Number two is a shrewd plan. And number three, come on, a heart set on eternity. So Jesus in verse 9, I love this. It's so clear. I love this translation. Here it is. This is Jesus. What? Don't you wish every time Jesus spoke, he said, here's the lesson. I'm serious. I love this translation. It's like Jesus is like, okay, you guys aren't following me. It's like Jesus like, okay, let me just tell you what I'm trying to tell you. Here's the lesson. Here's the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then when your possessions are gone, they will welcome you into a what? Eternal home. What if we leveraged our money for heaven? It says when you use your worldly wealth to please him, you're going to be welcomed into your eternal home. So what we do with our money and our possessions here affect eternity. Am I right? Do you like Jesus' words? Come on. This is what he's talking about. So I'm going to leverage what I have here. And there's going to be an accounting of what I do with my money for heaven. I want to give it so it matters. So the goal is not just so I have more to store up here. The goal is so I can use it for others. That's what Jesus is saying here. So I can have more to give. I can grow as a giver. Many people come to me all the time and say, well, once I get more, I'll give more. If you're waiting to have enough to give, you never will. It's like waiting to have enough money so you can get married. There ain't enough money. No, I'm serious. There's not. No, I'm not talking about foolishness. I'm talking about, really, we got to get over this. If I only hit the Powerball, I'll give. If you're not able to give on $100 a week, you'll never give on $1.9 billion. I'm trying to help you. See, I'm going to be faithful with the little and God's going to bless more. I'm going to use what I have. I'm leveraging what I have for heaven. I'm going to leverage because the last chapter of the Bible in Revelation chapter 22, Jesus is recording as coming back with rewards. I want to be part of that reward system. Not only did I handle my money and I was shrewd, I leveraged it for eternity. I gave it joyfully. I have true riches. I have the peace of God on my life, the provision of God on my life. I have the protection of God on my life. I have the power of God on my life. I have the presence of God on my life. Money can't buy that, but I'm telling you, as I handle my worldly wealth, right, I can get those things because I have a peace of mind. I have a heart set on eternity. Come on, isn't that what you really want? So we got to have a stewardship mindset. And then I got to make a shrewd plan. How many of y'all, you know it's time you make a shrewd plan with your finances. How many of you took that, you're gonna fill that out? Come on, how many of y'all say, oh, I got to do that again. Ouch. We just start doing that again. It's like, oh, we got to do this again. It's been a while. We got to review it. We got to dive in. But giving can be a joy. Giving doesn't have to be filled with condemnation. It can be filled with joy. I can't wait to give. I can't wait to just sacrifice for him. I can't wait to get my report in the mail. Pastor, when's the report coming? I want to see. I want to see again what the money's doing. I want to see how many lives are changed. Things money can't buy. But yes, we give and we sacrifice for him for a great reason. Are you with me now? Come on, that's what we're doing here. That's why we give. Our attitude towards money is indicative of our submission to or rebellion against Jesus' lordship in our lives. Our money, the way we spend, our attitude and the way we spend is indicative to our submission to or rebellion to Jesus' lordship. That's a fancy word to say he's in charge. I don't know, when I stand before God, I'd much rather have the word submission rather than rebellion coming out of Jesus' mouth. Painful, but listen, I would rather. Are you with me? Okay, one couple more verses for you. Matthew chapter 6 here, 19. Matthew 6, 19. Here we go. Here Jesus' words again, red letters. Don't store up for yourselves treasures here on earth where moths eat and rust destroys and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in where moss and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Oh my goodness. Yeah, see, your money is connected to your treasure, which is connected to your heart. And if we want to see where your heart is, we look at how you're spending money. When it's filled with a Frappuccino a day, you have a heart for Frappuccinos. Right? And it's just true. That's just a fact. Like, oh, Frappuccino a day. Ain't going to keep the doctor away. It's going to keep you at the doctor's eventually. I'm just telling you, I'm being honest. See, we see that's where my heart is. When we see the treasure, we see our spending, we see our heart. I want to help your heart be free to God. That's where I want to help. I want to see it free towards heaven. I want you to stand before God and give an account for him for what you have and say, here, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what we're preparing you for. At Bridge City Church, we're preparing you for heaven. That's what we do. And so if we believe we're going to give an account in heaven, we would be remiss in not helping you prepare for heaven. Are you with me? I don't want you to get to heaven and say, well, my pastor never told me this part. Never talked about this. No, I want you to be prepared. And I want you to step right up and say, man, I gave it all. I prepared, Jesus. I used all your money the way you wanted it to be done. And I was a joyful, cheerful giver. I didn't stop at 10%. I just kept going because it's so much fun. Now, see how some people tell me all the time, say, well, we shouldn't talk about money in church. Well, if God loves a cheerful giver, a hilarious giver, and it's fun and it's joyful, why would I want to hold joy back from you? Right? Why would I want to hold joy back from you? If you were at my house on Christmas morning, I'd give you some bread with a stick of butter. I wouldn't withhold that. But you're not going to be there. So I'm helping you now. I'm helping you now. I'm helping you stand before God right now. Okay, so here's the deal. Here's what we want. Here's the pathway right here. There's three things we're asking you to do. Make a list of your stewardship. Develop a shrewd plan. And leverage it for eternity. What I mean by that is have your heart set on eternity. What am I going to do with my money that says eternity matters? God, you matter. I'm going to stand before God. You matter. Now, I'm not saying God's going to look at what you give and go, ooh, that's so good. But when we obey Him and take the next step in our giving, God says yes, because God blesses obedience. Am I right? Right? So next week, we're going to help you take your next, we're going to outline what your next step in giving. We're going to help you. And then that week after that, we're going to help you with true riches, because I know most of us just have fear with our giving. We have fear. I don't have enough. God won't provide. How do I do this? It's fear. And we're going to help you overcome fear, because I believe that's what Jesus' church should do, is help us overcome fear. Am I right? There's a lot of fear in our world right now, but we want to help you overcome it. Could you stand to your feet with me today? How many of y'all are going to do these things? How many of y'all are going to get past the true riches? Come on. How many of y'all are going to do this? Come on. How many of y'all are going to do this? There we go. Come on. Come on. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every person right now that has their hands up, Lord God, and is willing to take a huge step in their finances and their giving, Lord. Wow, God. Help us leverage it all for eternity, Father. Wow. God, help us leverage it, Lord. Help us leverage it, Lord. God, I pray for this great group of people right now. And I pray, Father, for the grace of God to be theirs. The grace of God to have a stewardship mindset, a shrewd plan, and hearts set on eternity, Father. Lord God, that you, God, in heaven, the accounting that we give to you, Father, would be pleasing, Lord God. Would be pleasing, Father, to you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Now, in this moment right here, I just want to stop for a moment. And I just want to talk about, are we living for here on earth, or are we living for our accounting in heaven? I don't believe only we're going to give an account for our money in heaven. I believe we'll give an account for our lives, all of our lives. Every bit of my life is going to stand open to God. And I want to ask you a serious question. Do you have a day, a moment, or time when Jesus Christ became the forgiver of your past and the leader to your future? As a matter of fact, if you were to die today, and I'm not wishing this to happen on anybody here, but if you were to die today and you were to stand before Jesus and he were to say to you, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say to him? Oh, I did good deeds. I went to church every so often. I helped distribute food at Christmas. I mean, there's a lot of things we could say. All those good deeds can't get you to heaven. They can't. They won't get you there. Only one thing will. Not living for here on earth, but living for eternity. A heart set on eternity. Receiving the forgiveness of Jesus because of what he did on the cross. That's what we sang about earlier. And then Jesus Christ becoming the leader of your life. That means you're a disciple, you're a follower. He leads, you follow. And so if you're here today, and you would like to have a relationship with God the Father through what Jesus Christ did, and you would like this joy that we speak of, oh, I wish you could have my peace. I wish you could have my joy that goes beyond bank accounts and goes beyond promotions and goes beyond the house that you own. If that's you today, and you're here, and you're like, oh, that's what I want, and that's what I need. I need that relationship. All I have is a religion. I want you to do something right now in this moment. I just want you to slip up your hand and say, oh, Pastor, that's me. That's me today. Is there anybody here today that says, you know what? I need today to be my day with Jesus today. Come on, I've been waiting for this moment. Anybody here today? You're like, oh, I got to have today as my day where I begin a relationship with God the Father, and I want Him to come into my life. Anybody at all here today? Anybody? I'm going to give you one more chance here. Thank you, God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for everybody here that belongs to you, Lord. Help us please you, not only in our finances, by our whole entire life, Lord. God, you're so cool and so great and so awesome, Lord. God, thank you for giving us true riches in Jesus' name.